This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
He always plays well against the Raiders. How about 12 targets? 10 catches, 90 yards, had his first touchdown of the season. It took a little while to get there, but that was vintage 15 and 87 connecting throughout the game. And I don't think it's a coincidence that what you said earlier in the first hour, you thought that was Mahomes' best performance of the year, even with the pick. I don't think it's a coincidence that that comes in a game in which Travis Kelce puts together his best performance of the entire season. And it all started on that first drive. I mean, the place absolutely erupted on that first catch for Travis Kelce down the field. You could visually see it. That's when you knew, oh man, this is a different environment than what we've seen even on the road in some other ones.
Kind of knock his yards down, because I would say it's more like 8 for 90. Two of those were essentially for negative yardage or nothing on the shovel pass near the end zone and the very first play of the game where he didn't really get much going. But 10 for 90 and a touchdown. Travis is back. Over his last four games, he is averaging 66 yards a game. Guess what that is? Pretty much his career average, man. 70 yards a game is what he averages in his career. And that includes a 17-yard performance in one of those four games, which means in the other three, he's actually averaging like 85 or 90 yards a game. He's back. Travis is back. For as much as we talked about his slow start, 3 weeks into the season, I looked this up. 3 weeks into the season, he was on pace for 260 yards this year. We never thought he was going to finish that low. He is now on pace for 813,
just like
up from 692 a week ago, which means he'll be back at 1,000 in no time.
I mean,
2 weeks from now, he'll be pacing at 986.
Maybe. I mean, I think DeAndre Hopkins' addition is certainly going to help him in a huge way. But what you just said, you can easily spin the other way. You just told me how quickly it jumped to 8. He could have 30 yards next week, and it's right back down to 700 and something. I hear you, though. I think I lean in your direction only because DeAndre Hopkins will likely open things up. I don't suddenly think, though, he's having a 1,000-yard season. Just because one game he gets 90, I don't think he's back to being a 1,000-yard receiver just like that.
If next
week he has 20 yards, he's right back to pacing for 780. So, no, I think you need to see more consistency out of it. But that was vintage stuff. 15, 87, seen it 100 times. That was the good stuff, man. That was the good stuff yesterday.
He was even so open on one play, as correctly, I think, pointed out by the broadcast. The one not before the pitch. There was the one he got for like 20 yards. It was like right 15 yards right in the middle of the field. He stopped like he was ready to get hit. Well, he went like this, like almost like, okay, I've been hit on this play. And then he turned around and was like, oh. Then he ran like 5 or 6 more yards. Like, well, that was weirdly easy. Like, he almost wasn't used to it. Between that and him getting what I think, we disagree, so I guess I'm curious.
Okay.
913-586-7965. What I thought was a designed hook and ladder to Samaje Perine. I feel like after weeks of Travis Kelce just taking it on his own initiative to do it, I kind of thought that was a designed, like, on the TV, it kind of looked like Samaje was trailing him a little too close for it not to be a hook and ladder, especially for a running back.
I saw the reaction like on social media for people that were watching at home, because I guess it sounds like, you tell me that Trent Green maybe mentioned that he thought it was designed in the press box. Nate Taylor, who will join us tomorrow on the show, we were sitting next to each other, and I asked him, I was like, do you think that's designed? We're like, it could have been, but we both felt like it wasn't, because maybe Perine didn't look like he was ready for it, should have been more ready. But if you wanted to get a quick play out of bounds to stop the clock, the argument would be made, that's why you do it. So, and to my knowledge, at least in the portion I was there, I didn't hear Andy asked about that. It wasn't something that was like, this such a key play that, oh my gosh, you got to find out what the...
It turned out there was some other...
Now,
if there
was
it
was a fumble, and the Raiders took over, it would have ended up being, I think, a much bigger story about, hey, was it designed or not? I'll lean that it wasn't. It didn't really matter.
Travis will probably address it on Wednesday.
Yeah, that's true. I think if you watched at home, you probably think for sure it was designed, because the Trent Green sure made it seem like that. But being there, at least with Nate and some others, most people were skeptical.
So the broadcast, Trent Green definitely made it seem like it was.
Yeah. They've designed stuff before, so it's Andy Reid.
It was the way he trailed him. Travis Kelce's now done this pitch like 4 times.
Mm-hmm.
They're usually further away from him than that. He starts running, and then he's like, hey, where can I throw this ball? Hey, what's going on? Let's see if I can get this ball somewhere. This one, he caught it, and the ball was coming out of his hands as soon as he made the catch. Like, he was ready to get rid of it. I think it was just like a transition thing.
They rule it technically a fumble for Kelsey. It goes down as a fumble for him. Not lost, of course, but it's still a fumble.
No, it ended up as a first down.
Yeah.
That was the funniest part, is the way they pursued the football ended up making it easier for Samaje Perine to get the first down. If you watch on TV, they over-pursued, essentially, because they're trying to get the ball, which makes sense. And then because of that, the edge was opened up for him to get the first down. It helped him, the fumble, in some weird way.
Mm-hmm.
It actually helped him. But also, it was like, that was the first game, I feel like, in 2 years. And I'm probably wrong here. I'm just being hyperbolic a little, but where it felt like almost all the mistakes the Chiefs went their way. Ball gets fumbled. Perine picks it up. Ball goes through Xavier Worthy's hands. Noah Gray catches it. Like, typically, it feels like over the last two seasons, last season and this year, anytime like one little thing goes wrong in the play, it's over. That's it. We have problems now. Ball goes the wrong way, kicks the wrong way, goes into the wrong hand, whatever. Postseason probably being the exception to that.
Yeah, you know,
but in the regular season, it's gone that way a lot.
Now we're in Kansas City, so everybody probably is way more agreeable. I'm sure if anybody heard what you just said outside of Kansas City, they'd be like, "Have you? Excuse me?" They'd be like,
"I watch this team more than you."
They would be like,
"Outside people."
Yeah, they would be like, "They get every single break." What do you? You know, that would be the reaction. I'm sure. I get what you're saying. There was a season ago even 2 years ago, where there was batted passes that would always result or whatever. I get what you're saying. They definitely had breaks go their way yesterday, but man, when you come up with the goal line stand that they came up with defensively after that interception, I don't care what breaks you got. That is as good as it gets.
Yeah.
Fourth and goal, negative 5 yards after the Raiders had the ball at your 5 yard line. That's as good as it gets.
No, I think so. It was just good to see old Travis. And again, this is three out of the last four games it's been old Travis. So now he's on more of a consistent streak of looking like himself than not looking like himself.
Looking like old Travis, but not old Travis.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The Travis of old. Mm-hmm. How about that?
There you go.
Is that a better way of putting it?
Hey. Vintage.
It now, vintage Travis. Mm-hmm. That makes it some vintage has a nicer connotation to it, you know? Like a wine, a nice wine.
People like vintage. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or vintage t-shirts. Mm-hmm. You don't seem like a vintage clothes. You don't seem like you'd wear a piece of clothing somebody else owned before you.
Usually no.
Do you own anything that somebody owned before you?
Do I own something?
I don't think you own a single piece of vintage clothing other than your own vintage, as in like a shirt you got in college.
Yeah. No, I don't think so. I don't think I do.
It's fine.
Yeah.
I just, you know, it was an observation. That's all. Seems like the way we said vintage, it was like, do you own? Maybe like, what about a hat? You don't wear hats.
I don't wear hats, Cody.
Hmm.
What about you, Drew?
I would say there's some things, yes, but I'm more of the, I guess, not new vintage, but there's clothing that's made now that's got like the vintage look.
You know, I have some of those. I have some of that.
That is quote unquote vintage.
Like, I have actual used clothing, as in like,
yeah, I don't know
who it was owned by before.
I have some, but not very much.
Text line 913-586-7965.
He owns a 50-year-old Vineyard Vine. He's holding on to any Vineyard Vine he's owned in his life and still fits, I'm sure.
That's right. That's right.
If it's still in good shape, why get rid of it?
That's right. I don't even know how long they've been around. Anyway.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.